Good morning.
Good morning.
Dearly beloved, it is a blessing to be here with you, and I've missed you tremendously. Even more that I see you again. I do pray that the Lord will bless this message. I'm thankful in a way that you didn't ask, what is your topic today? Because I want to speak about one of the great people in the Bible, one of the great examples. I remember speaking over the years here about Gideon and Deborah and Jephthah and Joseph and Daniel and to my shame I've left out this person because I was afraid we might not want to learn about her. She is in Joshua chapter 2. Her name is Rahab, the harlot. I was afraid you might leave if I said that. But you know, I'll just start by saying that if the scripture had not told us that was what she was, we wouldn't have known it. Because of the way scripture does speak of her and her actions, what she did, and her faith. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves or mine. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's read a few verses from this blessed chapter in Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Don't you love this Old Testament scriptures and the language used? Pursue after them quickly, she said, for ye shall overtake them. Verse 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og,
whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. May God add his blessing to this portion of our story this morning. Joshua, of course, this is after having come through the wilderness with Moses leading Moses to the mountain. He perished, he died there as God told him. Joshua, going forward, Joshua, his name means deliverer, the Savior. Joshua going before, and Joshua sends forth out of the land of Shittim, acacia land, incorruptible land. He sends out two spies into Canaan to this very city called Jericho. Jericho, that great walled and gated city, a mighty wall encompassed it, keeping people out and imprisoning those inside. And they come to the house, these spies come to the house of this one, Rahab the harlot. She was a Canaanite, it appears, a Gentile. She was one who was alienated in terms of reputation and occupation, but more this, one alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, she's just like us, without Christ, lost and alienated, having no place in heaven, no hope in God. But Jesus has come and changed all of that. You know, it says it was told to the king. These men, these spies, came in hither tonight. You know, if we weren't told that Rahab was a harlot, we wouldn't have known it. If we weren't told that these men were spies, we wouldn't have known that either. You know, they came to spy out the land, and the very night they get there, everybody knew who they were. Even the king knew who they were, where they came from, and what they were doing. They were here to spy out the land. I don't think they were very good spies. But you know, when we go out into the world, we go out too as ambassadors, and we are known in this world. The Bible says, blessedly, we're like light shining in the darkness, holding forth the word of truth, rejoicing. Let your light so shine amongst men. We need to save, be used to save others, be usable to the Lord to help. May the Lord make us a blessing in our lives. These spies come, and the king sends soldiers, it appears, to Rahab's house to have her give them up, turn them over to the authorities. Think of that. What would have happened then if she were to do that? I guess it wasn't a good hiding place. They knew where it was. Bring the men forth. Bring the men forth. But now we read in verse 4 how blessedly it says that the woman took the two men and hid them. Yes, she hid the men and then said to the king's representatives, they came here, but I didn't know where they were from, or as our King James says, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, that would be at night, when it was dark, that the men went out, and whither the men went, I wot not. All those W's, you know? And I know what you're thinking. Wow, what a whopper. You know, it was all untrue. She made it all up. Yes, she wove this intricate tale, a yarn. And so, you know, we have this little fact here that she lied. And yet we're told to be faithful, like Rahab. You know, and so we may just kind of wonder, what is going on here? Was it right for her to misdirect them and to say what was untrue? So I have in my hand this rock. Can you see it? This rock. And I took it from my mother's house. And she doesn't live there anymore. And besides, it's my rock, because I bought it. And I paid for this rock. But you know, this rock is really a lie. You see, and I'm telling you, it's a rock, and it's not a rock. It looks like a rock. Got a weight to it like a rock. It's not a rock. It was outside her front door in her little garden at her house. And underneath, there's this little plastic thing here that slides out. And in there was the door key to her house. You see? And I, you know, this was very good. And you know what you're thinking? I know what you're thinking. Now, that's a really, really good idea. I want one. Right? And I'm just going to put it here so you can be awed by how great that is. So I'm wondering, is it really a great idea to have that? And so start reasoning in your mind. Say, well, yeah, it's a good idea, because you could keep a key in there, and then your family members know exactly where that is. And if mom is sick, you can go down there. And even if she can't come to the door, you know where that little rock is in the garden, and you can get in and help her. And I know it works, because I've done it. And I didn't go out into all the world and tell everyone, hey, my mom has this rock in her garden that has her key in it. No. If people came to her house and they looked at the garden, they're going to see that rock. And I just know one thing. They're going to think it's a rock. It's a lie. Was I right? Was Rahab right? You see, what I mean is this. We will think nothing of that as a problem. That deception. To protect the stuff inside of our houses, our garage, our attic. But what would we do to protect one another if the enemy comes? Will we send them out another way? And think, did she do the wrong thing? She used everything that she had at her disposal to protect the messengers of God. And she is called faithful in the scriptures. Of course, when she lied to the king's soldiers, she did something. She broke her allegiance to the king at that point. His reign over her was broken that day. And now her escape was within reach. She had instead allied herself to the servants from the incorruptible place, the servants of Joshua, the servants of the Lord. There's an enemy that wishes the moment the gospel is heard by somebody, there's an enemy that comes to take that away. What's that you were told? The gospel, that's no good. Tell us where that is. Tell us what was said to you so we can tell you how wrong it is. But we're told that, as David says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Hide it, treasure it, that I might not sin against thee. And we have to hide that little ember. The gospel comes to us. Treasure it here. Make it your own. Keep it close, lest anyone take it away. Allow it to grow, and then it will shine forth to others. Rahab knew this. She had found the answer to her problem and turned her back on the one that had built this wall that had trapped her, imprisoned her, and that had caused her to have an occupation that was not truly her desire. And she was being set free. And she was justified. It says in James, was not the harlot Rahab justified by her works when she had received the spies and sent them out another way? She's justified by her works. You know, it's very interesting that when we read about Rahab in the New Testament gospel, in Hebrews and in James, both books speak of her. And you know, puts her chronologically and rightly right after Moses in Hebrews. And then the walls fell down. And then Rahab the harlot was mentioned as faithful. And that's chronological. And then it goes on to the others, like Gideon and Jephthah and such. But in the book of James, it's different. It speaks of Abraham. Isn't it easy to speak of Abraham in terms of faith? And then right after, it speaks of Rahab from our book of Joshua. Faithful, we must remember that. And we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready. We have to be ready always to give an answer to anyone and everyone who asks us of the hope that lieth in us with meekness and fear. Verse 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. I've read that verse many, many times and just gone right over it. And this time, when I was reading about Rahab, I was stopped here at this special verse that talks about how she so carefully hid them in the stalks of flax that were on the roof of the house portion where she lived. It was another side of her life. She was not a harlot by desire or choice. She was industrious and artistic, and she was orderly. God is orderly. The planets, the seasons, the honeycomb, the crystalline structures of the inner earth, they are testament to God's order in creation. Paul rejoiced to see the order of those in the assembly at Colossae. He said, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. But what got me was this thought about flax. What is that? Proverbs says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Proverbs 31. Flax. Do you know about flax? I didn't know about it. It's made out of linseed. And it's used for weaving, for linen, for cords and nets, and fine paper. And it can be dyed different colors. Flax is ancient. It has been found, they say, in the Republic of Georgia, in Russia. Flax aged, they say, 34,000 years, give or take. We know. Flax, when you read about what it takes to produce it from start to finish, is very much like how the Lord works with us. Flax is harvested first, gently, by hand. It's pulled up by the roots to produce the longest fibers. So a gentle hand begins the work of taking the linseed and turning it into something beautiful and useful. It is harvested. And then it is threshed. It removes the seeds off of it. That old life, gone. Threshed. It's called the tribulum, it's called. It sounds like tribulation, right? God puts us through that. Get rid of that. You don't need that anymore. I'm going to give you a new, beautiful, useful life. It is threshed to remove the seeds. We read in Hebrews that the Lord chastens whom he loves and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now, did you know that after that, flax is retted? What is retted? It means it's moistened after the threshing comes the relief. It is moistened by pond or stream, or preferably, they say, in the encyclopedia, by dew from heaven, dew from the earth, a blessing from God. This moistening of that threshed linseed, it separates the bast fibers from the outer stem and from the inner woody part of the stalk. You see how the Lord works with us. We've really given him a tough job, you know. But once he saves us, he works with us, and he doesn't give up, and he's marvelous. And, you know, it sounds like he has to put us through an awful lot to make us usable and beautiful for his use. Hebrews says, now no chastening seemeth for the present to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the precious fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. And then it is dried on a roof, orderly, in stalks under the sun, the light drying it. And then it is dressed. You didn't know when you read the word flax that all of this went on. And I'm sharing this with you freely. I just want you to know that. After it's dried, it's dressed. Think of Rahab. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. It says in Isaiah, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me. He has dressed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. We read then that dried flax is then broken into smaller pieces, and it's scutched with a scutching board to remove the stalky bits from the fibers. And then it's heckled through heckling combs. Did you know that? To refine the fibers for use in linen and then into finer tow, it's called, which can be spun into wool and fine linen. And then it can be used to produce strong cords, even woven into rope, and dyed various colors. Rahab understood all of this because she was industrious and she was practical. And Rahab had all her flax in order. And so when the spies came to her house, and she recognized that they were the servants of the Lord God, that she used that special place in her house, that work that she loved, she used to hide them and shield them from the king, the enemy. Because she understood that she needed to be saved. The Lord Jesus was outside of Jericho. He was walking. It says, one came running up to him. He was a rich, young ruler. And he said to the Lord, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's one good. It is God. You see, the Lord wasn't to be flattered. He did not come here to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus came here in a lowly place, and though he was good, perfect, impenetrably perfect, the Lord Jesus, and he says, why do you call me good? And the man says, what must I do in Mark chapter 10 that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus said, well, what does the law say that you should do? And the young man, it says to the young man what he should do, and say, what does the commandment say? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. This young man had a very privileged upbringing, a rich young ruler. And you might say, humanly speaking, he was a good young man. Jesus, it says, loved him. Loved him with that altruistic love of God. Jesus loved him. The young man was naive. Was he really willing to do, or could he do, what it took to inherit eternal life? I was thinking about a rich young ruler, you might say, a prince in a way. His name is Joey Logano. Now, some of you may have heard of him, or maybe none of you have heard of him, but Joey Logano is a rich, young prince who races stock cars in NASCAR races. In fact, in less than about an hour or so, he's going to be racing at the Daytona 500. And I don't know much about Joey Logano, but I know his family is... I've met his family in the last year, his uncle, and I've met friends of his. And they all say how they've known Joey since he was very little. Joey's raced in go-karts and different type of track racing all of his life. A very loving, deep family surrounding him, and friends that follow him all over the country to watch him race. And I was thinking about Joey for a reason in respect to our rich young ruler and what it takes to be saved, you know. And you can think of Joey, what if he went to, like, the king of NASCAR, we'll call it King Richard Petty, and he said, King Richard, what must I do to win the Daytona 500 this year? It would be the second time, because he won 1 year ago. And Richard Petty might say, well, you need to have a very lightweight car. You need to have a very powerful engine and a super transmission and differential and the best tires and wheels and brakes. Well, you don't need brakes. You need to have it be safe and have a roll cage around you. And you need to know how to drive very fast and very well. And you can hear Joey say rightly, King Richard, all these things have I done from my youth. And King Richard would say, just like the Lord Jesus might have said to that young man, one thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have, Jesus said, and give it to the poor. King Richard might have said, go sell everything you have and give it to Tim in Connecticut. Why? Because I happen to have in this little key thing of my mother's, and Mom doesn't know it's here, I have the one thing Joey Logano lacks today. Can you see it? It's a lug nut from his car. And his uncle gave it to me. And there it is, painted yellow, and it's right off of his race car. And one thing Joey lacketh today is this little thing here. That's all it took, this little thing. Now, I don't know if Joey's going to fly up here from Florida to have this, to get this from me today. And I really wish him all the best, and I truly do pray that he's safe. But I hope you get the picture that all we need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It's the smallest thing
that God could ask of us is to put our faith and trust in his dear Son, the Lord Jesus. Give up everything else that you have, that you were, that you are, and receive Jesus Christ, the Savior, into your heart. This lug nut, I happen to know that Joey Logano would never use this lug nut, because he used it once when he was racing in North Carolina last year, and he won a race there, and this is a lug nut from off of that car. But he wouldn't want it anymore. This lug nut is stripped inside, the threads. And its corners, they were once sharp, but they're now all rounded over by the impact hammer that this nut had to go through when it was being changed one time. It was only used on one set of tires once. And its bright yellow paint is all worn off, and it's all scratched from running at over 200 miles an hour around a racetrack, and the debris hitting it, and it's all battered and not shiny. And it's a lot like you and me, you know, without the Lord. You say, I'm not a lug. I'm not a nut. No, you're worse. You're a sinner. No value. Having no hope. And without God in the world. But the Lord Jesus came. And he saw us, lugs and nuts, and he gave everything he had to redeem us to himself, to make us new, perfectly fitted and suited to be with him forever in heaven. And that's why the faith of one like Rahab is so important. That she turned her back on her home in the wall of Jericho, upon her former life, she turned her back on the king that had ruled it, and gave her life over to the protection of the Lord God of all. And I was thinking that next week, Lord willing, after Joey Logano wins, that I would come here again and we'd learn a little bit more about faithful Rahab from the book of Joshua. Let us pray. Our God and loving Father, we give thee thanks for thy precious scriptures, which tell us in so many and myriad fashions of thy love to lost sinners, of thy love for this lost and rebellious world, thy love to us that tells us of thy remedy, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves sinners and who came to give himself, his life, a ransom for us, to redeem us from the prison, the pit that we were in as sinners, and to purchase us with his own blood, to make us holy and clean for thee forever. We thank thee for permitting us these moments to spend in your word, to contemplate the actions and faithfulness of those in the scriptures that would teach us how we ought to walk
and how we ought to please thee, and that we would be a blessing to others. We give thee thanks, our Father, for one another, and above all, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name, amen.